John wrote the last verse of his gospel, and he said, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be everyone, if they should be written everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. Now, we could look at this and we could say, well, John's over-exaggerating a little bit. He's not. And then we think about it and we say, are we missing some things? Are we neglecting to see? Are we unable to see? Can we not visualize what John is saying? I tried to get a little help last night on my text, and I ain't getting no help. I tried to preach on this a couple times, and I don't feel like I've ever done it justice. I never heard anybody preach on it before. I used it up in New Garden. I used it down in Loveland. I've been studying on it in my mind, meditating, trying to figure out what it really means. I think there's a lot more than I can even get to. I want to tell you that there's a movie with the name of what my topic is, and I'm not picking on the movie, okay? They just didn't understand what they were talking about. You might get some good out of it, you might not get some good out of it. It don't matter to me, really. I mean, I'm not advocating or judging against it. But I want you to read this third verse of the first chapter of Acts with me. "To whom also he shewed himself alive after his passion." If I understand, that's the only time the word passion is in the scriptures. The word passions is in their plural, that we are like men after like passions. But this says, "To whom also he shewed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining unto the kingdom of God." Now, what I'd like to do, if it's possible, I'd like for us to consider what happened. Now, we go over there in Hebrews, and it says that a testament is no force until the death of the testator. But now, concerning Jesus, that doesn't quite work, because he was asked, by what authority does he do these things? And he says, "I do it by the authority of my Father. My Father bear record of me." You know, they said, "You bear record of yourself. Your record's not true because you don't have people to bear record of you." But he said, "My Father bears record of me. That's good enough." So, it didn't take the death of the testator to make the things that Jesus said to be true. They were already true. He spoke truth every time. There was never anything about it. But there was a fulfilling of the testimony in the death of the testator. Therefore, those that were with him could see that his testimony was true. You know, the reason I want to try to get this out here is I want you to think about it, what it was like to be with Jesus after the resurrection. You know, the scriptures don't talk about it. All it says here is he shewed himself alive after his passion. Now, what was his passion? You know, we think about Jesus as one with compassion. You know, he had an enormous amount of compassion. He kept showing compassion everywhere he went. You know, if he come across somebody that was sick, he healed them. He come across somebody that was dead, he raised them. He come across somebody that was blind, he made him to see. If they were deaf, he made him to hear. If they were lepers, he cleansed them. Now that was compassion, and he had an enormous amount of compassion. He has compassion upon us at this very present time as being the intercessor sitting on the right hand of God, making intercession for us. He has compassion. But you know, we're dealing with a different subject here. We're talking about passion, not compassion. You know, compassion has to have a little bit of pity, has to have a little bit of mercy, has to have a lot of grace, you know, but it has all those beings. But passion is something that drives one. Passion is something that motivates one. Passion is something that is looking forward to something. You know, he says there in the 12th chapter of the Hebrew letter, he said, "Looking unto Jesus, the author of a finisher of our faith, who for the joy which was set before him endured the cross." You know, he didn't have passion for the cross. He didn't have passion for the Roman beating. He didn't have passion for the 39 stripes. But he had passion for what was beyond the cross. He had passion for eternity. He had passion for the Father's will. He had the passion for election. He had the passion for the fulfillment of the Scriptures. You know, can you imagine? You know, I love this song, and if you don't like it, I'm sorry. But old Dolly Parton sung this song. The best song she ever sang was "He's Alive." But she stopped right at the point where he began to speak here. You know, I can imagine Peter. I can imagine Peter saying, "John, he's still going to love you, but he's not going to love me. He's not going to love me because I denied him 3 times in public. He's not going to love me because I forsook him. He's not going to love me because I went out and I cursed. He's not going to love me. He'll still love you." He loved Peter. Nothing had changed. Peter had changed. Jesus hadn't changed. Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen. You know, can you imagine Peter standing there and Jesus saying, "Satan, get thee behind me"? You talk about cutting somebody to the bone. "Satan, get thee behind me. Thou savorest the things of men and not the things of God." Then what am I doing here? What am I doing here if I savor the things of God, not the things of God, but the things of men? What am I doing here? Why did you call me? Can you imagine some of the things Peter went through? And not Peter only. What about all of them? We left him. They took him away and we just fled. We left him. John, being known in the temple, he said, "You know, they know me. Them chief priests, they know me. They know I've walked with him. I can't be seen there." He went to the temple, but he couldn't stay. He had to leave. Oh, Peter, they didn't even know who he was. The man that he cut his ear off asked him, "Aren't thou a Galilean?" You know, a guy cuts my ear off, I'm probably going to remember what he looks like. You know, it's sad, but I'm not going there, but it's sad. But I want you to think. I can't tell you this happened, but I feel it happened. Jesus is sitting down. He's been raised from the dead. He's sitting in the midst and he's talking to the apostles. He's talking to the 11. Can you imagine some of the things he might have said? "Now do you understand? Now do you remember what I said? Do you remember me telling you that this temple is going to be destroyed in 3 days? I'm going to raise it?" They thought he was talking about bricks and blocks and mortar and sand. He said, "We're not talking about that. We're talking about this body, this tabernacle." Do you understand now that the true tabernacle was Jesus himself? That was the true tabernacle. That thing over there that was in the temple, that was just a figure. That veil was a picture of his body. That was a picture of his body. Why was it rent from the top to the bottom? Because who demanded a sacrifice? Who demanded satisfaction for sin? Who was the one that brought down the mighty hand upon the Lord Jesus Christ? It was God. We got to have it. It's the only possible way. Can you imagine that Jesus was sitting there with him and he said, "Can I take you up to Mount Moriah for a moment?" He said, "Do you remember Abraham? You remember what Isaac said?" He said, "Father, here's the wood. Here's the altar. Where's the sacrifice?" He wasn't talking about Isaac, was he? Abraham spoke these words concerning Jesus Christ, probably not knowing that. But he said, "God himself will provide sacrifice." He said, "You know, Abraham was talking about me." John, James, and Peter, "I took you up to the mount. I was transfigured before you. I told you not to tell anybody, and I guess they probably didn't, because they said they didn't know what to say. Well, how are we going to go tell people what happened? We saw Moses and Elijah, and we saw Jesus, and we saw exceedingly white raiment, and we saw things that we can't tell you. You know, they think we're crazy." Peter, John, and James, you remember Mount Transfiguration? You remember what happened? Now do you understand that that was a fulfillment of the law and the prophecies? Now do you understand when the two that were on the road to Emmaus, they said, "Are you a stranger?" Talking to Jesus, not knowing who he was. "Are you a stranger? Have you not heard? The one that we thought had redeemed Israel? Do you think when he was sitting there and talking to him, he expounded unto them how he did redeem Israel? It wasn't about the Roman Empire. It wasn't about putting down Caesar. It wasn't about removing the Sanhedrin. It wasn't about the high priest. It wasn't about any of those things. It was about a sacrifice for sin. There was a demand of something that had to be fulfilled, and there was only one possible way. One possible way. No other way. You know, I was a little kid. I was like, boy, they should have crucified Barabbas. Well, it wouldn't have done any good. Well, maybe they could have crucified Peter. It wouldn't have done any good. Maybe they could crucify us. It wouldn't do any good. There was only one way. One way. Kind of changes when he says there in John 14, I am the way. I'm the only way. There is no other way. There's no other way. You know, over in John 4, he said, my Father is a spirit, and true worshipers must worship him in spirit and truth. You think he began to expound to them pertaining to the kingdom of God, that it was a spiritual kingdom? Don't look for an army. He said, I told Pilate, he said, if my servants had been in this world, if my kingdom was this world, my servants would fight. You know, Jesus had a lot of potential for servants. You know that? First off, he could have called the ones that followed him. At one point, he fed 5,000 men, plus women, children. He could have called those servants. He could have called the ones out of the grave. They could have come and fought. He could have called the angels from heaven. They could have come and fought. But how would these scriptures be fulfilled? Because this was a one-man battle. This was a one-man battle. It was his battle. It was his warfare. It was his accomplishment. You remember back in the days of Gideon, they had 10,000. Well, that's too many. They're going to say they did it on their own if they let them do it. And then he got down to less, and he finally got down to 300. And then when the 300 went into battle, what did they go into battle with? They went into battle with a trumpet, an earthen pitcher with a light in it. These are not vessels of destruction. They destroyed themselves, the Midians did. You know, anybody that doesn't have the Spirit of God will destroy themselves. The only thing that preserves us is the Spirit of God. That's what keeps us going. That's what makes us to understand these things. He said he shewed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. You know, there are an enormous amount of infallible proofs in this book. It amazes me at times that I see things on television that just don't make any sense. They're going to tell you why they were able to cross the Red Sea by a natural act. It don't make any sense. I mean, if you're going to go to all that trouble to describe that, and then you're going to have to believe what's been described, why is it not just easier to believe that God just parted it? Why is it so hard to believe that God is just going to raise the dead? Why is that so hard for us to believe? It is hard for us to believe. Brethren, we are going to hold on and we are going to fight for this old life just as long as we can. I believe that if we truly saw the infallible proofs of Jesus Christ, this old life wouldn't mean near as much to us. It wouldn't. He said, he that shall find his life shall lose it, and he shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. So, we need to lose this old life the brother was talking about when we're not renewed, and find the life when we are renewed. There's a renewing. One of my favorite songs has become Revive Us Again, O Lord. Revive us! You know, we talk a lot about regeneration, and it's a good thing. But we need something else. We need to be quickened again and again and again and again. That regeneration works one time back there. It gets the job accomplished. It's done. Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, marvel not that I say you must be born again. He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth. You don't see where it comes from or where it goeth, but you see the effects thereof. It's a done deal. That's God's work. But you know, we need that Holy Ghost again. Let's go to Acts 19 for a minute. He went down there and said, have you received the Holy Ghost? They said, we don't even know if there is a Holy Ghost. You know, just because they didn't know that there was one didn't mean they hadn't received it. They'd already received it. If they hadn't received it, they wouldn't have submitted unto John the Baptist. Well, then old Paul asked me, he said, well, then, this really bothered me till I kind of looked at it a little different way. I'm like, John, why did you go to, or Paul, why did you go to baptism? Why bring out, why muddy the waters with baptism? Because there's a lot of mud concerning baptism. He said, well, what baptism were you baptized with? I'm like, Paul, why did you ask him that? Because that's all they had. He could only go to where they were at. The only thing they knew is that they heard the preaching of Apollos, that they were baptized in the name of, that they were baptized in repentance and remission of sins, that the kingdom of heaven was coming, that they were baptized by the things that John preached. Then Paul begins to expound to them, there's a whole lot more to it than that. There's infallible proofs. There's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's the Son who's sitting on the right hand of God at this very present time interceding for us. He's coming again in glory. He's always in glory, but He's coming again in glory. And like a sound, there's going to be a shout, and the graves are going to open, and the dead are going to come forth, and they're ever going to be with the Lord. Well, we're a long way from John's baptism, ain't we? I mean, John's baptism was good. Very good. I don't want to hear anybody ever get off your John's baptism because Jesus Christ went down to the River Jordan and He said to John, He said, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Suffer to be suffered. It becometh us. You ever thought about the blessing of that just in itself? Here's old John, called of God. He says, I baptize you with water, but there standeth one among you that baptize you with fire and the Holy Ghost. You know, I never thought about this the other day, but if we're baptized with fire and the Holy Ghost, how come we ain't on fire? We ought to be on fire for what we believe. You know, somebody asks you, what do you believe? I tell you what, I've done an awful job of telling people what I believe. I tried to tell somebody Friday night what I believed. I did a bad job. I did a bad job. That's not the way the Lord would have done it. He'd have done it right. You know, when we tell somebody what we believe, we should never be condescending. You know that? I didn't mean to be condescending, but I was condescending. I said, I've heard what you believe 100 times and I don't believe it. There's no way that's not condescending. It is. It is. This young brother was on fire for what he believed. He wanted to tell me how to get under that law. He wanted to tell me how to live in Christ. He wanted to tell me how that I could bring these things upon me from the Lord God. You know what I want to tell him? I want to tell him, I am so happy that God has blessed you to want to study and want to learn. But I want to tell you something. Jesus paid it all.
Yes.
All to Him. When He said in Hebrews 1, when He by Himself had purged our sins, sat down on the majesty on high. When He by Himself. By Himself. Didn't need no help. Didn't need old Peter saying, I'll go with thee even unto the grave. You know, I really believe in certain instances that Peter could have died with somebody. I believe that he was a passionate man and would be willing to... I would like to have old Peter standing next to me in battle. But here's where Peter got in trouble. He didn't know what the Scripture said. He said Jesus had to go and go alone. So Peter couldn't go with him if he wanted to. Even had he wanted to, and I believe he did want to, he said, this man's good enough that I will stand behind him when they kill him. But you know what? Then we'd have two crosses, wouldn't we? Wouldn't have one cross. I mean, it's bad enough with Peter the way it is today in the world. I don't understand that either. You tell me how you take an unlearned fisherman and you want to make him the chiefest of all the apostles when you got a man over here that knew everything about the law. He'd make a good apostle. He'd make a good chief priest. I'd let it go. But it don't make sense. It don't make sense. And being assembled together with them, commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promises of the Father. You know, have you looked at that in a spiritual standpoint? Do you believe that maybe Jesus is commanding you to not depart from Jerusalem? We're not talking about a city over there in the Middle East. We're talking about another city. We're talking about another Jerusalem. Depart not from Jerusalem until the promises of the Father come. What are the promises? I'll never leave thee, I'll never forsake thee. Where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst. Call upon the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved. You know, old Baptists didn't like that where I grew up. They didn't like that. He that calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not eternally, because he's already saved eternally. But he'll be saved today. We need to call upon the name of the Lord today. We need to call upon the Lord, name of the Lord tomorrow. We need to call upon the Lord when we get up in the morning and when we go to bed at night. We need to call upon the name of the Lord. Lord, we know how weak we are. But thank goodness we know how strong thou art. Are we worried about our nation? Sure, we're worried about our nation. But do we trust our God? We trust our God. Our God is greater than our nation. The problem is sometimes people get that confused. They start to think our nation's greater than our God. That our nation's more important than our God. I don't care what they call us Americans. I don't care what they call us. Hopefully they call us Jesus's. He said, they shall be called by my name. By my name, not by your name, not by somebody else's name, but by his name. You know, I think when he petitions the Father up there and we're trying to meet or we're trying to pray or we're trying to do something, he says, Father, they're mine. Thou gave them to me. I kept them. Father, they're needing me. Send down that Holy Ghost. Send down power from on high. Take that broken heart. And raise it up. Renew them again. Revive them. You know, we as old Baptists hate the word revival. We need to get over that. We need revivals. You know, Brother Mark and I think Brother Mark's invited. I just kind of want to go along. We've been going down along the Arkansas-Louisiana border. And I think the one thing I appreciate most with that is the honesty in those brethren's worship. I think they're honest. They know they need the Lord. They pray like they need the Lord. They talk like they need the Lord.
That's right.
I love that honesty. Do I think they see everything we see? I don't know. They see a lot of things. I think we see a lot of things. Does it matter? Does it matter? Does that really matter? Do they believe the Lord paid it all? I believe they do. I keep hearing it when we go down there. I feel good when we leave there. Should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promises of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. So have we heard promises of God through the Lord Jesus Christ? Sure we have. He has said, ask my Father my name and he'll give you. He said, pray for these certain things. You know, he gave us the sinner's prayer. He also allowed us to hear the Lord's prayer. You know, there's a blessing in that. Father, glorify me with the glory that I had with thee before the world was. You got anything in that? You do. Do you know that? There's a place in that for you. Do you really believe that he's coming to get you? I mean, really believe it? I think you'll all say yes, but I want to go a little further. You know, there's depths of understanding. And we can be assured that Jesus Christ is going to raise us from the dead and take us home to be with heaven. But are we going to stop like the song stops? Or are we going to keep going? Are we going to be in glory with God, dwelling with Christ Jesus, being a joint heir with Christ Jesus, being in the presence of God, being in the bosom of God, being in the existence of God for eternity? We can't explain eternity, so we don't know what that means. You know, somebody said, I'll use this because it don't describe it, so it's a good way to use it. He says when that bird comes once a year with his beak and he pecks on that anvil, when he wears that anvil out, eternally be over. I don't know whether that bird can wear that anvil out with his beak or not, but I know eternity can't ever be over. So that don't even explain it. So we sing the song when we've been there 10,000 years. The earth's only been standing for 6 as far as we know. So we've been there 10,000 years. just bright, shining as the sun, with no less days to sing his praise when we first begun. Well, put 10 billion years in there.
That's right.
Put 10 trillion years in there. Put 10 billion trillion years in there. Do you really believe he's coming to take you home to that? There was a man who had a son, and his son was a lunatic. And he brought him to the disciples. Now, I want you to think about this precious brother here. He brought him to the disciples, and they couldn't heal him. Now, I'll tell you what, that would destroy me. You know that? But not this brother. I'd like to meet him someday. He brings him to Jesus. He don't give up. You see him not giving up? He brings him to Jesus, and he said, "If thou can do anything, anything." Jesus says, "As thou believest." Now, I want you to think out about what happened here. He cried out, "I believe." Now, I could try to be theatrical and cry out, "I believe." But I want you to understand, he cried out that he believed. Now, I've been focusing my whole life on the fact that he said, "Yet help my unbelief." But he cried out, "I believe." He already proved he believed when he brought him to the disciples. He proved it again when he brought him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he cried out, "I believe." And then he said, "Help thou my unbelief." I believe in this eternal thing. Okay? But Lord, help thou my unbelief. Help me to understand that the things that I see and know now are not the things I'm going to see and know then. Help me to understand that I'm a temporal creature and I can't think in eternal things. Now, the Scripture tells us there's an eternal spirit. The Scripture tells us you are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. The Scripture tells us there are spiritual things about us that we don't fully take care of. We don't fully embrace. Now, I want to tell you something. Being born of God's Spirit, you embraced it. You embraced it fully. You know that? You can't reject it. You're passive in it. God accomplished it upon you. That cannot change. But, have you received the Holy Ghost? We don't even know if there is a Holy Ghost. Have you received the Holy Ghost? Yeah. We received it in the preaching of the gospel. We received it in seeing him walk on the water. We received it in watching him raise the dead. We received it in watching him ascend up on high. We received it in watching him hang upon the cross. We received it over and over again. Have you received the Holy Ghost? Do you desire that Holy Ghost? Do you desire that spiritual relationship? This is the kingdom he's talking about. The kingdom is spiritual. And it can only be entered in spiritually. The young boy was reading, "All them without." You know what? I've been without. I've been on the outside of the city. I've been on the outside of the kingdom. I've been on the outside of the kingdom when I was in the church. That's bad. It's one thing for you to get down, bogged down and work and bogged down with the people you work with. And Brother Mark talked about that. I've worked with people probably a whole lot worse than Brother Mark has. I worked with a whole crew that were drug addicts. I was supposed to keep an eye on them guys. You can't keep an eye on guys like that. If it wasn't nailed down, they'd carry it off. They got to buy some drugs, you know? Were any of them children of God? I expect they were. They were a needy bunch, I'll tell you. They were a needy bunch, but they didn't believe. They didn't believe what we believe. They didn't see what we see. They didn't understand. In Romans 10, it says, "It is nigh unto you. It is even in your mouth." Now you need to tell me the Spirit of God is nigh unto you and even in your mouth.
All you have to do is confess. Not that you receive eternal glory, but you might enjoy it a little more.
People come up to me and I'm so hesitant. I shouldn't be hesitant. I'm so hesitant.
I said, you believe in the Lord? Without the Lord, I'm dead. Literally, emotionally, spiritually, every possible way without the Lord, I'm dead. You believe in the Lord? We ought to say, yeah, we believe in the Lord. We found the Messiah. Come and see. We have found the Messiah. And I want to tell you where He's at. He's right now sitting on the right hand of God, making intercession for His people. Not only in the church, but especially in the church. He said, do good unto all men, especially in the household of faith. So He made a difference. You know, people are like, oh, God can't make a difference. God has always made a difference.
Amen.
God is the most particular indifferent person. He's not a person, but the most indifferent one there ever has been. Oh, we can't have a God like that. Then you can't have one. Because that's exactly the way our God is. Our God professed that Jacob I love and Esau I do hate. Our God said that Isaac can stand before me, but Ishmael cannot. That's what our God said. Our God said that this son of mine is going to come out of the tribe of Judah. Not Joseph. Joseph was the best son. Judah was a rascal. Joseph was more like Jesus than Judah was like Jesus. I think we can prove that in scriptures. Judah was a self-righteous Pharisee. No wonder he was the father of the Jews. He did something bad one time, and instead of living with it, what does he do? He just tries to sweep it under the rug and pay the price and move on. But here old Joseph, his brothers, they didn't like him. They're going to kill him. Guess what? They would have killed him. You want to know why they would have killed him? Because there was one in heaven that he was a type and shadow of. That one would protect him. We're going to kill him. Here old Reuben, he's not a very good character either. He slept with his father's wife. He said, we're not going to kill him. Let's go kill him. Well, let's just sell him. Let's just sell him and get rid of him. He'll be gone. You know, lucky for them, he wasn't gone. He went, but he wasn't gone. They laid hold of him. You read that however you want. Some people think it was the brother. Some think it was the Midians that laid hold of him, sold him to the Ishmaelites. It don't matter. He ended up down Egypt. He had the opportunity to have a lot of the pleasures of the world in Egypt. What did he do? He was always focused on taking care of the brethren. He brought them to Goshen. The 7-year famine rose up. They were sitting over there rich in Goshen. Best land. Had the best of everything. Had the king's blessing. Had it all. The Egyptians couldn't hardly eat. Sold their land to the king. Sold all they had. Who was under bondage then? The Egyptians were under bondage. The Israelites over there living like kings. 400 years, they went from 60 souls going in to 750,000 coming out. Don't tell me they didn't prosper in Egypt. Because God was with them. There rose up a king who knew not Joseph. You know, all them other Egyptian kings, they knew Joseph. But there rose up a king, he didn't know Joseph. He said, I don't care about Joseph. I don't care about them Israelites. We'll put them in bondage. I ain't worried about God. God ain't going to do nothing. You ever heard that? God ain't going to do nothing. Well, when you get to thinking God ain't going to do nothing, you're going to bring down a curse upon your nation. You know what God said? When he was done with Egypt, he said, don't fear them no more. They're never going to be great. You know, if Mark Anthony had known the scriptures, he'd never win against Rome. If he'd known what scripture said, you can't prosper against Rome because you'll never be a great nation. You want to know why you'll never be a great nation? Because you rose up a king that knew not Joseph. You knew who Joseph represents there? Jesus. You raise up a king and don't know Jesus, you're not going to prosper. You're going to be torn down, you're going to be thrown down, you're going to be beat down. Because it's God that fights our battles even when we don't see Him fight. We need rain, God sends the rain. We don't send it when we want it, but He sends it. You know, my place is a swamp, and I've got a kind of a hill farm. I don't understand that. We didn't get no 7 inches of oil one time. We got 2 tenths, 3 tenths every day. They ain't planted an acre of anything around us in a month and a half. Nothing. You know, it'd be easy to murmur against the rain, wouldn't it? Better not murmur against the rain. We needed the rain. God sent the rain. We got the rain. God sends the snow. There's treasure in the snow. God sends cold. There's treasure in the cold. God sends, we receive. We should be thankful. God sends the bread. God sends the bread. I wondered about your wheat. I thought, boy, you guys got a lot of rain out here. You should have probably ruined your wheat. But God provide wheat somewhere. Maybe the low ground would be gone and the high ground would be better than ever. Because God provides for his people. What does that scripture say? I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. His seed begging bread. What do we have that we've not received in the Lord? What do we have? Any of us? Does anybody here proclaim to have anything they've not received in the Lord? If you have received it, then why do you glory if you've not, received it? That you got it on your own. We ought to be the most thankful people. We ought to be the most thankful people of all. He shewed us his passion. He shewed himself alive unto us. He shewed us his passion. This man of love has shown his love for us and to us. He ought to show it through us. Sometimes we block it. Say, no, not going anywhere. The Lord can have passion on me, but I'm not going to have compassion on somebody else. You may not have that problem. I got that problem. I have a terrible one. I've been a hater. That's terrible, but I've been a hater. The brother was reading that scripture. I read a few verses down. That's not too good. That don't go along with me. I called this brother. I was all upset. I said, boy, I'm really upset. He said, what chapter and verse you got to get out of it? You ain't got no chapter and verse. We don't have a right to be upset with anybody. Do you know that? That doesn't mean we don't have a right to contend for what we believe is the truth. We got a right to do that. But if it gets personal with us, we don't have a right. We don't have a right. We just don't have it. You know, sometimes that's the hardest thing to take, that we don't have the right. You know? But what we do have is we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's our husband. He provides for us. He cares for us. He instructs us. He leads us. He homes us. He's provided us a home. He's provided us everything. Nothing are we lacking. You know, I'm ashamed to say I don't know this book as good as a lot of these brethren. I know. I should know it better. But you know, at the same time, there's so many things in here I do know. I do know that God loved his people. I do know God sent his Son to destroy him that had power over the flesh, and that was the devil. I know that he raised his Son from the dead. I know that his Son's going to raise his children from the dead. Some won't taste death, and they'll be quickened. I know that we're all going to live in glory. And I do know there are some that God did not choose before the foundation of the world. And I'm not going to dwell on that. Because I believe that God is more loving, more giving than any one of us could ever imagine. So whatever he did was right. And not for us to question him concerning these things. It's not for us to question him concerning election. It's not for us to question him on his callings. It's not for us to question him on that. It's not for us to question him on who he blesses and who he withholds his blessings. God knows everything, and he knows it perfectly. We heard that last night. You know, I thought about it this way a few weeks ago. When you think about the Godhead bodily, you think about the Holy Ghost. Now, you felt that. So you've got something tied to that Holy Ghost because you felt it. You see Jesus. You read about him. You hear about him. You can relate with him. You really see Jesus. But what about God? You know, John 5, he was talking to the Pharisees, and he said, at no time did you hear his voice or see his shape. What about us? Have we heard his voice? Have you heard the voice of God? Have you seen the shape of God? You know, when I think of God, I think of awe. I just don't know how to explain Him. I don't know how to. I don't explain Him as no. As someone said yesterday, a grandfatherly guy or something like that. I don't see God that way. God is awesome. He is eternal. He is incredible. He is massive. I mean, I don't even know how Moses saw the very hinder part of Him when he passed by. He got to see a little piece. Very, very little piece that he gets to see. But you know what? Scripture tells us that there's a throne set, and the Son sits on the right hand of Him, so He must be sitting on that throne. I don't know what He looks like. But I think we've seen His shape. I think we've heard His voice. Sometimes His voice is a still voice. Well, that's an oxymoron. Still child don't make no noise. So what is that voice? It's an inaudible spirit is what it is. A still voice is an inaudible spirit. So what is His shape? His shape is an invisible spirit. Yet we see the Spirit of God. You know, there's times when we see the cloud after a rain, and you think, that has to be something. God's got to be in that. I mean, have you seen that after the purging of the rain and the clouds? And I'm not talking about some of these dark clouds we've been having lately, but I'm talking about them. One time I was in an airplane, who's up above the clouds? It looked like a big pillow. God had to be in that. So we've seen His shape. We've heard His voice. We've received His Son. We've felt His glory. Do you really believe He's coming to get you? He is. It's more sure than anything else in the world that God is coming to get those who are His. His Son's going to raise them from the grave. And time will be no more. This old mortal body cannot understand the concept that time will be no more. You know, I got to tell you this. I had this old sister, second funeral I ever did. But anyway, she had cancer and she had a round of it. She went into remission, and about 2-3 years later, she had another round. And we're having a week's meeting, so every night at 7 o'clock we had church, and I'd go by her house. She lived about 30 minutes from the church. I'd go by and visit with her. She got kind of short with me one night because she wanted to plan her funeral. I said, well, I'm not going to talk to you about that. She said, well, if you don't do it, I'll get somebody else. The morning that she passed away, she told her daughter, she said, I want you to tell all the family and all the friends. She says, I don't want any visitors today. I want to spend the day with the Lord. An hour later, she's gone. She got her eternal thanks.